Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. This is Documentary Podcast, and I'm your host, Russell Price. We'll give it to you straight talk, no chasing. We pull the eyelids open. This topic this morning is going to be about Will Smith and Chris Rock. Before we break into the subject, we got an awesome gentleman on our newsmaker line, Barry Fletcher. We want to thank our sponsors, CarShield. CarShield cars go further. If you have a car and want it's going to be leaving or it's already out, you got to call CarShield. The number is 1-800-630-1801 for all your CarShield needs. Make sure your car has CarShield because CarShield cars go further. For all your soul food needs, soul food is still a staple that people want to eat. Not everybody, but there's still people that like down home good soul food, and Tori's Restaurant, 700 B Street, is the place for your soul food right in the Shaw area. Stop by Tori's. The number is 202-667-0180 for all your soul food needs. Let's get right into it. Welcome, Barry. Barry Fletcher on our newsmaker line. First off, Barry is a renowned hairstylist, a product owner of his own product. He's been doing hair for over 25, 30 years. He's seen it all, and he understands what women, they talk in the chair. Women talk in the chair, and you can see things that Barry has probably helped or counseled or probably gave advice to or just listening and observed things. But this thing about Will Smith and Chris Rock, what man lets another man slap him in the face? It's called a pimp slap. Men don't slap men. Pimps back in the day used to slap the women who they call hoes. And they call them hoes, and they would slap their hoes on the corner. Pimp slap them. And them, what they used to do, they slap them forward and slap them backwards. But when a man goes up to another man and puts his hand, open hand, and slaps him, they call that a pimp slap. What entails that is unbelievable because you took the manhood away from a man immediately. They also informed, I got the information from the news line that the LA police was there. LAPD was on the scene. They walked up to Chris and asked him if he wanted to press charges. He would lock the man up right there on the spot and pull him out of the damn Oscars. And Chris Rock says no. What is the thinking behind that? If a man takes your dignity to that degree, well, all bets are off. I mean, if you don't hit the man back, at least have him locked up. I mean, what loyalty do you have at that point? I mean, what does it make any sense to have any loyalty at that point? I don't know what this thing's about Chris Rock or what this thing's about Will Smith, but Jada Pinkett apparently has something over him or is in his head, to the point where he don't have a head no more. He done lost his own head. I mean, you remember everybody plays the fool sometimes. But Mike Tyson, remember Mike Tyson when Robin Goodness had him on national? This man was the heavyweight championship of the world. And Mike Tyson was on the TV with Barbara Walters, and Robin Gibbons was talking about him like he was a clown, and he was sitting there looking simple. I mean, when a woman gets into your head and you lose your head, Barry, give us your take, Barry. What's your take on this?
Yeah, you're definitely looking at it clear eyed. If you ask me, I just thought that. You know, he should have handled that way better than that. And firstly, I would say that it wasn't, it wasn't an insult. I don't know why people were saying, well, he insulted his wife, you know, in front of 5 million people. No, that wasn't no insult, actually. That was an acknowledgement and a sort of a promotion for a new movie, which could land her about $20 million. You know, this man came up with a suggestion. So what happens the next week or 2 weeks later when, you know, maybe a director call her about maybe doing that movie, you know? So I'm just saying, you know, A-list actress should not be afraid to, you know, be in an audience of her peers and show some confidence about cutting her hair off. You know, if she didn't have any confidence, she should have wore a wig. You know, but I think that you know, maybe you know, there was some animosity or vendetta that Will may have wanted to extend there with Chris Rock from something that maybe happened before. And probably before they left the house, you know, the actress would say, hey, I'm going to be up in the front row, the front table with my bald head. You know, Chris is going to say something. And Chris ain't going to say nothing about it. I'll go up and slap that Negro. And bam. You know, but I think that Will just was really lost it. You know, he didn't, and most importantly, it was an opportunity lost there. So Russell, when you think about, you know, somebody with a bald head, or let's say somebody struggling with alopecia, which there are millions of people around the world struggling with that disease. And it comes from various, you know, reasons why you might have alopecia. People maybe don't understand that. See, alopecia is, you know, it's what you would call like a scalp infection. And you can get it from various things, like, you know, it can be hereditary factors, androgenetic, male and female pattern baldness, alopecia areata, where you get little bald spots in different areas, sometimes that fill back in on their own. You can have traction alopecia. Traction alopecia is like, you know, what sisters experience when they stitching their weaves on, you know, and the tension on the weaves and the braids on your scalp, you know, it really causes alopecia or an infection. And then you got chemical damage, you know, the no-lye relaxers have been burning sisters' hair out, causing scalp infections for a long time. Then of course people have autoimmune disease or thyroid problems, ringworms, you know, then you got lupus and sarcoidosis. A lot of these things can take your hair out. And so think about the people who are really suffering it, who can't afford to have a makeup artist come to them and show them how to do their, you know, their face, or buy new jewelry and dresses and clothes and things, custom wig with hair or hair pieces. Some people can't afford that. Not only are they afraid to cut their hair off, but they can't really you know, afford the whole new makeover. And so somebody on Jada's level who can afford all these things, and, you know, and she is, you know, I would consider her A-list actress. I would think that she would have taken that. Will would have, after the comment was made, you know, the suggestion of a promotional role for her in, what was it, G.I. Jane 2? Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. Had Will just went over to her, stood her up, spinned her around in front of the crowd, let them see her neatly cropped, if you will, bald head. And I think the crowd would have roared. They would have erupted, you know, because that would have been a good sign that she was, you know, proud and strong and confident about her new look. Because or other ladies out there who would like to, you know, inherit some confidence to be able to wear their hair short or bald. And I think women are beautiful with bald heads. I hope it catches on. I see a lot of women. I've seen a lot of women that should go ahead and go bald, and they'll look much more beautiful.
New thing right now, Barry. It's a new thing, and women shaving their heads just to be shaving their heads because they want the look of not having to worry about doing hair. And some women have the face for it. And if you got a slamming body, who cares about a bald head? I mean, men don't get bald heads. I mean, they look at bodies. And so what happened is you got a lot of ladies who are powerful, and they shave their head, but they still are beautiful ladies. They have the look, the clothes, the body. And everybody looks at them as a queen, you know, as somebody who is powerful. But what you say is true. If she was worried about her hair, she would have wore a wig. But we got some other call. I want you to stay on the line, Barry, because what you're saying is so important. Who we have up next is Willie, I think we got Willie up, or we got Carol. Who's on the air right now? Carol, you on the air?
Yes. Hey, good morning, Russell. Good morning.
Good morning, Carol. Washington. You know, Carolyn Washington is a front runner in this town when it comes to women, domestic violence, helping women who have insecurities. They know what to do, or they need to know what to do. Carolyn Washington is there for them. Give us your take, Carolyn. What did you think about Will Smith pimp slapping Chris Rock? And would you want a man in your life to act that way for a situation where he thinks that somebody's doing something against his woman?
Wow. Russell, that's a loaded question. That incident has so many different layers that we can explore probably for at least the rest of this year, conversations about women and men and, you know, violence in America and domestic violence and, you know, men and mental health. It's just so many different conversations about that incident. But one of the things I can say is I was very deeply troubled, and it's still haunting me. I think those of us that witnessed it, whether it was in a replay or live as it happened, are dealing with some of the ramifications, almost a form of trauma. Because one of the things, it just embarrassed and humiliated me personally. I felt overwhelmed. I couldn't believe it. I kept shaking my head, hearing my grandmother's voice saying, "We don't cut up in public. You know, we don't show out. Your mother take you out, she'd be like, 'Be good. Don't cut out on me, or I'm going to give you that look, or I'm going to take you behind the building. We're going to get a switch,' you know." But and what happened that night was very humiliating to African Americans. I mean, here we are on the big stage globally, millions of people watching and tuning in, and we cutting up. We are doing what they say we always do. You can't take them nowhere. They act up. They're violent. They're animals. We're not. And what he did, that action took us back. So at this point, moving forward, we have to look at how we can make this right. You know, I think Will and Chris, first of all, I really commend him for being so amazing and how he handled it with such class in front of so many people. And I hope that's the message. But what I did, Russell, I went and had a conversation with my son, my 19-year-old, to find out what's their generation thinking. And, honey, let me tell you, their whole thing was he did the right thing. He should have slapped him. And I'm like, Lord help us. And so, really, it was a good conversation piece, couch conversation, table talk conversation for us with our young people so we can kind of guide them and we can show them. So now he's having a different perspective, but that generation, that's how they do it. So with Will, I pray for him. I see him in a, you know, what happened. He was happy and laughing until he saw his queen's look, and that's when he went to strike, and it hurt. It hurt me to the core because as women, we got to do better. We supposed to lift up our men and help them make better choices, not put them in a place where this man who is so talented, he is now maybe not able to expel from being at another Academy's honor when he's a great actor. So, you know, I got a lot of thoughts. But, Russell, this is a great conversation. Thank you for having this dialogue.
Well, we need this dialogue. We got another man on, too. We got Willie Perkins. You on, Willie?
Yeah, I'm on.
Willie, what's your take? What's your take, Willie? As a man, what do you think? From a male perspective, you heard Barry's thing, you heard Carol and Washington's thing, and but you're another man. Now, you've been raised to be a man. You're what they call a man. Now, what is your take on this situation where a woman can emasculate you to the point where you want to go up and slap somebody at the Oscars? What's your take on that?
Well, I'm kind of mixed in the middle there. I understand, you know, defending your woman's honor, okay? But your woman got to have the respect for people to understand why you're defending her honor. At this point, Jada has been an object of negativity for Will. So it's like for him to do that, to try to put her honor, when she has been disgracing him over and over again, was a little too much.
Yeah.
You know, she has done, I mean, I understand they may have an open marriage, they may have a lot of things, they may be swingers or whatever, but that's privately object things that you do in your home, and you don't exploit your man. His manhood is at challenge at this point. Because of the fact that she has done so many things, and I mean, from the first time when he didn't get an Oscar, and she spoke out and wanted to boycott the Academy, and then, you know, at that point, her and Chris had words then. So, you know, I think there's a little bit more to it in reference to Jada and Chris and Will than just that comment about her and her hair, because I really didn't think the comment was that negative. I thought that, you know, he was getting a plug-in for another movie role for her.
Exactly.
You know, that movie was a good movie with Demi Moore in it. So, you know, and it showed how women can lock down and you know, go through the adversity of being a Navy SEAL. So, you know, that's why I was like, you know, it was funny. It was well-timed as far as from Chris's point of view as a comedian. And, you know, for them to go that far with it, you know, to not be staged, because if it had been staged, it had been a different story. But to not be staged and to get all these repercussions that's coming back on it, you know, was it really worth it?
I agree. And you said something so profound. Over the years, she's been degrading him. She's been degrading her husband. Did he want to slap her? He never slapped her.
Right.
I mean, the things that he did against him, I mean, some of them would have slapped him right. But man, he said, no, he didn't take that rule. He took a high rule. I'm not going to slap my wife. He sat at the red table. If you saw that red table interview, and she started talking about this man, obviously, well, I had an entanglement with him. He looked like he was crazy, an entanglement. She said, oh, well, it wasn't, I had a relationship. Yeah, it was a relationship, but he still sat there and took your abuse. It reminded me of Mike Tyson when Robin Gibbons sat there on that couch. Mike Tyson looked like, what the hell are you talking about? You know, he said, I got a manic depressive. Who are you talking to? You know, and he sat there and didn't rebuttal or anything and looked like a clown after the interview was over. I mean, and then she took things in that relationship to emancipate him, man. First thing, they got married, they were young, and she tells him, my mama's going to live in this $1 million house you buy me. I mean, who does that? My mama, is your mama sick? Is she got crutches? But why is she going to be with us in our house? I can buy her a house, which comes to shove. I got that kind of money. But she pushed the mother in the house. It was a whole big mess of showing you that you ain't got no man card. When people take your man
But you know, Russell, that situation is just a little different because there was some abuse in that marriage. So that's a little different, but I agree with what all the other panelists are saying regarding this incident with Jada and Will. And it hurts me because he looked like a little boy. He just seemed like he looked at his mama, and the mama said, "Go, what you going to do?" It was very, to be honest, I've not said this publicly, but it was very demonic. It was like a cult type of activity going on there. And he seemed possessed. It was definitely not a natural thing. it was very scary as I look back.
Yeah, I was haunted by that as well. I couldn't believe he would embarrass, you know, the rest of us, you know, by acting up on a big stage like that. And I thought that, you know, if anything, Chris, you know, failed his wife to an opportunity to make $20 million or more. And you mad? Like, what is wrong? I don't know if her thing was, you know, she being an actress or she was really, you know, felt like she wanted to climb under the table from that comment. I don't know why she would, because she's a beautiful woman. She looks great. And I would like to see more black women instead of hiding behind hair and being too ashamed to face their natural look and not be afraid to show your scalp, you know, because, see, men have used bald heads and turned it into something really sexy. So I don't see why women don't feel the same way, like they can do that too. Because what's her name? Ayanna Paisley, Presley, the congresswoman who, you know, is she not the most beautiful woman you ever seen? Like, oh my God.
Yes.
I'm saying embrace that power, you know, show the real you, you know. But people have to learn to find themselves in the mirror, regardless of how long their hair is, you know. And with her being a, you know, actor, that you have an opportunity to do a movie like the one, you know, Chris suggests. I mean, she might benefit. I mean, I thought if they would have embraced it positively, she'd probably get a call in a couple of weeks and say, hey, he would want to do this movie.
G.I. Jane 2. She could have did G.I. Jane 2 with no problem. She got to look like Demi Moore. They look good together with the bald head. And you said something also, Barry. There was in the 60s, even in the 70s, if a man was bald, he was laughing. They looked at men like, oh, he got a peep losing his head. He got a clown haircut. Why don't you cut him up the side? And then men decided to embrace the baldness. They decided to shave all the hair off their head. Because there was a time when there was two things that men looked at when women looked at was something was sexy, something was not sexy, was if you had bald hair, if you had hair was going bald and you was a young man, women looked at you like that was a bad look. And then Isaac Hayes came out with the bald hair. He came out and said, I'm going to be sexy. There was a time when hair on a man's chest was sexy. Do you realize it's 2022, very few men snatch their shirt off with hair on it now? Nobody wants hair no more. That was a big to-do when I was growing up, man. I couldn't wait for some hair to grow on my chest. I wanted to be like a Burt Reynolds or Jim Brown. I wanted to have some hair on my chest. But now no one is talking about a hairy chest man no more. So it's all about how people see things now, you know?
Well,
do you think
Chris
Rock should have pressed charges? Does anybody think Chris Rock should have pressed charges? Or you think he should not press charges? Or should he press charges? The police was there. They asked him. We can arrest him right now. We saw the assault. We can arrest. Why do you think he don't press charges? Or do you think he should press charges? I'm going to panel answer that question.
I think he shouldn't have pressed charges, because here's the thing. Will is gonna be regretting this for a long time, and I think that Chris didn't realize, you know, the sensitivity that she was feeling about her hair. If she was really feeling that sensitive, I don't know if that was an act or she really has some trepidation about being bald. I don't know why she would. And not wear a wig, you know, if you have a real problem. But I thought she should have been like the spokesperson or sort of a leading model for folks who are having these, you know, chronic problems with hair loss and stuff, and they just propagate themselves to their home. They don't even want to come out to face the stares or the ridicule, you know. But Jada's on a whole nother level. She was like the eyes of the whole ball. People were impressed that she could. We don't really need to know that it was from alopecia, you know. You just cut your hair off. Now, see, if it was, let's say, Tiffany Haddish, she cut all her hair off. If Chris Rock would have yelled out, yeah, you could do this movie, she would have jumped up and took that as a badge of honor, see. And Jada tried to act like she was, you know, put off by it, which I thought, was that an act or was it real, you know, but... Anyway, I think ball is a beautiful thing, black women. Don't feel like you gotta hide or you know, it's gonna cause you know, some deprivation of glamour, because, you know, bald head woman is still sexy as hell as well. I have to say. I've seen some really, really beautiful bald head women, or really short, close head. Cut hair, and they just look fabulous. So, you know, I just hope that people can find themselves, come to a comfort level and embrace the bald head, just like men did. I hope women can, you know. So, I just thought it was a missed opportunity altogether for Jada to stand up for women who are suffering from alopecia, and she totally blew that and turned it into something. Well, you know, yeah, I guess I could say she turned it in, because it's that look she had on her face, as one of your panelists said. You know, it's like, you know, when you look at your wife or, you know, and you see her and she look like, hey, aren't you not going to defend me? I'm really hurt by this. And he goes and, you know, and commits,
well,
you know.
As a PG County police officer, I've seen many guys get killed, stabbed, beat to a pulp, because the woman said, "You gonna take that? You gonna let him talk to me like that? What you gonna do about it?" And he looked at the guy, maybe 5'6" or 5'4", and the other man is 6'7", and he know he can't beat the man. But the woman is saying to him, "What you gonna do about it?" And he go, "I'm gonna defend you." And that makes you know he could defend it, all right. He could beat up to a pulp. And then when the man is beating him so bad, the woman says, "Oh, stop! Don't hit him!" No, you instigated that. You knew he couldn't beat this man up, but you told, what you going to do about it? And, you know, some people say, well, I'm walking away. We getting out of here, honey. We leaving right now. We ain't going to be fighting this guy. I'm leaving out of here. Willie, what do you think about him not being arrested or not pressing charges? What's your take on him not pressing charges? What's your take on that?
Who are you talking to?
I agree with Barry. It's bad enough it's black on black. Okay, but to actually bring police into it is a little bit too much, because I think personally they can handle it between the two of them. I respect Chris for not responding back, because seriously, and I'm quite sure any man would say the same thing. Being on nationwide television and somebody slapped me, I know I'm going to react. It took a lot for him to just laugh and turn his head and admit, "Will just slap me." I don't know what that's all about, you know.
Yeah.
You know, and that was a lot. I mean, you know, that was a whole lot.
I couldn't believe he handled it so well.
Yeah, definitely. But no, I don't
think
the police should be involved at all.
Well, I agree with everyone else. I agree with the other panelists. I do think that you all have brought some really great that I hadn't even thought about. But one thing I do agree is Chris Rock has done a lot of work with professional mental health counselors and psychologists and psychiatrists prior to this incident. So it really shows that it's important for our black men and women, our community, to heal mentally. And that's probably the reason why he didn't react, because he had already been doing the work. But I absolutely admire him for not pressing charges. And most importantly, at this point, I'm with the common comedians who are supporting him, and I love the way they galvanized around him. And even Jim Carrey is like, you know, Wanda Sykes and the rest of them have said, you know, he should get sue him for $200 million. You know? They're like, he needs to pay him for that pain. And but I just totally agree with you all, and I just totally, I have so much respect for Chris, and I have so many prayers for Will, because he's hurting somewhere.
Well said.
Very true.
Mm-hmm.
Well, like he said, maybe you wouldn't want to arrest him, you know, but that would be the first thought, that he got to pay something to me for what he did to me, because he has no regard for me. Once Will Smith slapped him in the face, open hand slap, even though you take the high road, like Chris has got to be commended for what he did, to say, oh, he just slapped the crap out of me. Yeah, I'm going with the show. But in the back of his mind, he got to pay me something. Like you say, if I'm not going to have him arrested, then like you say, why not sue him? Because he just can't walk away with this thing saying, oh, well, we're going to make bygones be bygones. When you did that to me publicly, and it could have went the other way. It could have went rogue. I mean, if it was a Dave Chappelle or Steve Harvey or Bernie Mac, it would have went rogue. It would have been the whole
it
thing.
Been hey, but look, Russell, you know, at the end of the day, his ticket sales went up 30%, man. He's selling out all over, you know, the country. So he's gonna be rewarded in other ways. You know, his first show was what, last night, night before last or something. And the audience gave him something fun. He stood up there and cried, you know, before he even started his show. So he'll get his, you know, as they go, you know, for being, the bigger brother of this whole incident, you know, he'll still benefit from it.
Mm-hmm.
What do the panel think of they're going to do to Will Smith? What is the Academy going to do to Will Smith? They had a meeting on it. They got some kind of punishment coming up. What do you think would be an appropriate punishment for Will Smith from the Academy?
That's a good question. I mean, it's like you can't go too far. I mean, suspending him or kicking him out of the Academy, I don't think that's fair. I mean, I think it should be some either financial repercussions or something, you know, that in reference to basically, it's probably going to be financial, and maybe he can't attend the Academy Awards. But I wouldn't suspend him where it could affect his revenue, because he's already going to have enough problems trying to get another big movie, because the powers that be are going to punish him no matter what.
I think you're right. Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't think he should be kicked out of the Academy.
Yeah, I agree.
What do you think, Barrett?
I agree with you. But your panelist there, I kick him out, but he's going to be shamed for a while that was really embarrassing. And like we're talking now, and I think that the most people are siding on with Chris Rock now. You know, at first, you know, it was like your panelist there, the son. Said, you know, yeah, you should have slapped him. You know, everybody kind of felt like that. Even I noticed some people in the audience when he came back and kissed Jada that they clapped a little bit. But, you know, everybody likes that love, so where you're protecting your wife. But I just thought that, you know, Chris didn't really offend his wife, you know. That was, as a matter of fact, he might have suggested a $20 million movie to her. You know, I'm like, what are you so mad about? That's crazy. I said, we can't let that kind of stuff out. I'm like, Will Smith, you know, you really respected way up there. You're really high. I mean, you know, you have to go to Denzel to go higher than him, you know. And you know, for him to embarrass us like that, you know, whether he realized that or not, you know, like, you know, your panelist said, Russell, you know, she was embarrassed. I was too. It haunted me for a while. I found myself waking up thinking about that. I mean, really put you in a really bad position. You know, so So I don't know. I think that, you know, the chastising he's going to get will be punishment. And then, of course, they're probably going to get him financially a little bit. They got to do something, you know.
They got to hit him hard, but they're not going to hit him that hard with financial. He's going to be able to pay the fine, whatever the fine's going. What do you think, Charles? What do you think they should do with him? What's your opinion?
I don't know. You know, every time we talk about the subject, it feels like a deep wound inside my soul. It hurts. It still hurts just to think about it. You know, I'm like, this is really painful still. And it's not like I was there, I knew the people, but it goes to the core of who we are. It hurts. However, I think that we got to turn the situation around, and I'd like to see Will. I'm not sure if Chris wants to be involved, but I'd like to see him do a nationwide program that will involve men, young men, especially brown young men, to talk about conflict resolution, how to handle pressure. I'd like for him to talk to the young boys, the young men, or older men and say, I made a mistake. Make it a citywide, like a tour, and it would be free, and the money would go to a school where there's a lot of crime in D.C., Philadelphia, Memphis, Atlanta. Make it a nationwide tour to show that this is not how we handle stress. This is not how we handle pressure. So hopefully we can turn it around and him bring some of them rappers or whoever them young men are that the guys follow, and some of the middle, you know, all ages men, and have a real couch conversation about how we handle stress in our community among men.
I love that. I love that idea. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's I wish they hear you. that make a difference, really. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just that, you know, that's really what should happen. And also, Jada should do the same thing for alopecia sufferers. You know,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
she old enough. You know, you're going to starve because you had to get you decided to get your hair cut all off. You know, I'm just saying,
mm-hmm.
you know, what about those poor people who are still suffering today? And now they are less likely to get their hair cut mm-hmm. after watching what this happened.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I also challenge the hairdressers and salons. For any client walks in and she's been suffering from alopecia or cancer, and they mm-hmm. and their head is, you know, sort of choppy or whatever, and they need it cut off, you should do it for free. If they got to get a bald head, cut their hair for free. I challenge the hairdresser.
Go ahead, on that's a good point. Challenge his style, Eric Fletcher, renowned hairstylist. If a woman comes to you and she needs her hair cut off with the alopecia, do it for free. Let her know that you can get this done. We can help you with some treatments. We can get your alopecia to be under control. We can work with you, but we're here for you. That's some good point right now for women who suffer mm-hmm. from alopecia. And don't be embarrassed about your hair goal. Like I say, hair is not a commodity where it's going to make you or not make you. If your hair goes, it's not you that's going. You still have a human aspect of you that's way more important than hair. And people shaving hair every day. A lot of men are shaving their head bald and don't even have to shave their head bald. They're shaving their head bald because the woman likes the look.
Exactly.
Like Mary said, mm-hmm. it should be the same thing with women. They could get a bald head because men like the look. A lot of men do like a bald woman look. Now, when you get some women have a bald head look and they take their femininity better with the bald head, they look like they want to be a man. That's a whole different aspect of a bald head. But when you take a bald head, woman shape a bald head, and she still has the essence of being a woman, it's very, very pretty. It's very, very pretty.
Just think people understand hair, what hair really is and what it means to people. See, hair is a very tangible form of self-expression of how we feel about ourselves and how we want to be perceived. And hair has been used in the past as a sexual armament. You know, people can make themselves even more sexier by the way they style or design their hair. You know, so they've been using it, you know, as sexual armament over the years. So when one does not have that tangible self-expression to use to their advantage, then some folks feel insecure. But I want them to know that even the bald scalp, you know, because over the years when we have watched black women wear the weaves and the wigs, you know, constantly, I at one time I felt like I just want to see my sister's scalp. You know, the scalp is a sexy thing. You know, yeah, even though we obscure it a lot of times, you know, when something about looking at a woman's scalp, man, it's got a sexual connotation with it. I don't want to come off sounding weird, but I'm just saying, to me, when I see if it's three black women or six of them standing in a ballroom or something, and one of them have a bald head, and she's got her makeup and her fashion and her accessories, all that stuff done, my eyes stay on her. Because she exudes confidence. And she looks like the queen that she's not afraid to be, you know. And she tells me, it seems to me that she has found herself in the mirror. And I love that confidence.
That's an excellent point. When it comes to, let's switch gears a little bit and talk about when a woman does not respect you, when a woman does things that Jada Pinkett has done, like Will alluded to earlier, things that you do in your bedroom and you do with other people, it's not something that should be publicly advertised. If you have orgies in your house, most people who have those orgies, and I remember them back in the 70s and 80s when it was built big in D.C., the swingers and all that, they would invite people to the house. First off, they had to be married. And secondly, they had to not want to be exposed. So what happened in the house stayed in the house. They didn't leave that orgy, friends or their friends, oh, I was at an orgy last night, and blah, 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 blah. And then if they met a couple at the orgy, they knew this couple from the outside of the orgy. They didn't go outside of the orgy and say, guess who was at the orgy? But for somebody to cheat on you, if you have a wife that cheats on you openly with somebody that's in your house, and you don't even know that they're cheating on you, you may know, you may not know. But even if you know, what is the reason for going on a red table and telling the world? What's your take on that?
Wow.
Give me your take on why one would do that. Why would somebody tell the world what you have done in your home against your husband?
Table, that's Jada's show, right?
That's Jada's thing. She made it up, yeah. It's her way of getting out the table, putting things on the table and getting it out in the open. It's her way of saying you can come sit at the red table and you can – it's like a therapy session. You can talk about what you want to talk about, tell anything you want. We'll discuss what's on your mind. You can get it off your chest on the table. Put it on the table.
Mm-hmm.
That's the concept of the red table. You can put the thing on the table. But I'm saying to you, how far do you go? What is your take on a woman or a wife who has cheated on you? I mean, if you know everybody cheats. A lot of people cheat in a relationship. I mean, if you see somebody who's married 50 years, if they're celebrating the 50-year anniversary in their church and they're getting all these accolades and cards, quiet as it's kept, somebody helped them get a candle on the cake. They didn't get the 50 years by themselves. But nobody knows that part. They don't discuss that part. When they had a liaison or an entanglement or affair with somebody during the 50, what they're celebrating now is we're still here for 50 years. And somebody could be at that church ceremony who slept with the woman or slept with the man, and they ain't speaking up. They're not saying nothing about that because they're now, they made it through 50 years. So I want to know from the panel, what is the logic in somebody doing that publicly?
Yeah, I'm quiet because I don't get it. I wanted to hear what Carol had to say.
I'm waiting for Barry and Willie to tell me what they think. I think we're in a society now where, you know, everybody wants to expose everything, and we need to keep some things very prayerful and quiet. And I think a lot of people do it for attention. Everybody has a different motivation. But I think we need to just, even as a community, be more private in some of our, you know, some of the things we're experiencing. But I'm with you, Russell. Everybody at that 50th knows that there are some stories that go with it. But I guess with social media, TikTok and Facebook and Instagram being the way people communicate, you know, well, we know they're no longer involved because they have started following one another. That's really nobody's business. We need to take back our personal business, so we can thrive and live the life we need to live and heal. You know, a lot of the social media stuff destroys families and relationships and self-identities and self-esteem. Mm-hmm. So we need to pull back from some of this, I believe, personally. That's all.
Mm-hmm. I love it. I knew you'd have the logical solution. Yeah, I agree with that, you know.
Well, man, I agree with Carolyn. I think Carolyn spoke very well and very, very attentive to what is going on. And I like what you said. Something prayerful and should be private. I mean, I don't want somebody to expose what I've done. I mean, I left no stones unturned. I don't want nobody to go in my past or look at what I did, you know, especially sexually. I don't want that to be known in the public. I mean, it's something that whatever you've done in your life in a relationship, if you're going with somebody, or you're married to somebody, or you had a liaison with somebody, or whatever you did, it's between what you did between the two people. But even if somebody caught you, there was a scenario. They said if you went to a restaurant and you was eating dinner and you looked across the room and you saw your best friend's husband talking to this woman, eating strawberries and kissing, and you know they've been involved, would you run back and tell your girlfriend? And that's a good question for a lot of people, but is that something that you would do when there's something that they're doing that they got to, but it's something to expose somebody of something that is not really your business? I mean, most people say, I'll go back and tell everybody, wait, but no, you got to think about it and say, if you did tell a person, now the guy knows that you told her, your relationship's going to be damaged. The girlfriend's not going to really like you for that. You know what I'm saying? Because first thing you're going to say, well, it's never your, what are you telling me for? I don't want to know it. You know, some things people don't want to know.
Exactly.
And if they did know it, your relationship between you going to change. It's going to change between you and the lady. You and the girlfriend are not going to have the same relationship because you done exposed her name.
It's sort of like the coming of our society since the 90s. When we all got cell phones and stuff, and now we got our own social media pages, and everybody knows everybody's business. They just put it out there, you know, man. You go on TikTok, girls sitting there, hardly no clothes on, and tell you all their business. It's sort of like the era we're in right now. You know, folks just want to expose themselves.
Well, it's
before.
Crazy. Well, like you say, technology built the place. There is no more player, Barry. Dead is Julius Caesar. You dead. You can't play nobody in 2022. If you call somebody up and say, hey, baby, I'm over here with the boys playing pool. Oh, really? You really have to? What? Take a picture right now of the people playing pool. Put your GPS on your phone. Put your GPS on and forward it to me so I can see exactly.
Hell yeah. Hell,
you can't get away with stuff like YouTube. Yeah, technology comes to play, man. There's a time you could go downstairs and you're in your woman's house and you want to cheat on your woman and somebody called your girlfriend, called you, go out there, pick the phone up downstairs, and you know, why are you calling me here, blah, blah, blah. Come up there. Who was that, honey? Oh, that was nobody. The wrong number. Them days is gone. Wrong number. Let me pick the phone up.
Yeah, you got to be honest.
Your cell phone. Or what the whole kickaboo is, they would say, the average person in a relationship, let's be clear on this, cannot exchange phones. And for a person to say, give me your phone. Oh, whoa, we together. Are we exclusive or we're not? Give me your phone. Let me get the phone up. They can't get a phone up. They say, let me check all your text messages. Let me check all your phone. Who's this person calling? Who's that? Let me call them back. People can't handle that, man. They got a good relationship. They may be going with somebody, but can you exchange phones? I don't think so. A lot of people can't do that.
And you know, a lot of people have to change their behavior as a result. Even me as a hairstylist, you know, I had to be, once we started doing all the social media and the ground, I had to be really nice to all my clients. Back in the 80s, I used to rough them up a little bit, have them sit there, you know, leave them under the dryer because I ain't ready. Shoot, you don't mess around now. They're going in and bust you right out. they'll talk about you bad. Your reputation be ruined before you. Well, yeah, I learned some math, baby.
Well, Barry, there's a guy had a black-owned restaurant, right? And he was trying to get this restaurant down. And he had a good restaurant, man, good food and everything. And one day, this was in a white neighborhood, but in a white area, right? And he was, you know, had good food, good service, everything was perfect. One day, he was closing up, and he forgot to mop the floor and take the tables off the table, you know, the chair off the table.
Oh, yeah.
And there was some spots on the floor, right? Some lady walked by the restaurant and looked in the window and saw the floor was dirty and there was some pans wasn't right. She took a picture of it and went on Yelp. And went on Yelp and said, this, don't eat there because the restaurant is dirty. Man, shut him down. A white lady put that Yelp is dangerous, man. If they give you some reviews on Yelp, you dead.
Yeah, really.
If they just,
yeah, they kill you, man.
And it wasn't the case for him. It was just a one-night thing that he messed up. He didn't do it right away. He was coming back to do it, but she took the picture when it wasn't done.
Wow.
So you got to be social media now. Like I say, relationships, social media. Somebody one time, you know, got mad at his wife and started talking about his wife like a dog on Facebook. And he said, I'm going to put her out. I'm going to take her name off the house. And I'm going to go get my insurance policy changed. We've been married 15 years, but as far as I'm concerned now, we ain't mad at all. And she's nothing. Just bashed his wife. And everybody was supposed to need to comment and say, you know, come on, man, what are you doing, blah, 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 blah. And then about 3 months later, he put her out the house and everything. About 2 months later, he got back with her. But now they've been celebrating their anniversary. But everybody looking at they won't forget what he posted on Facebook. They won't forget it.
No.
How you? Oh, y'all back in style, man. Oh, y'all back in love now. Oh, we just, my lovely wife. No, you didn't love her. What you said on social media is documented. And I get it.
Man. Yeah.
Yeah, but like you say, that love, everybody plays the fool sometimes. When you play the court to the fool where you have messed your whole life up, when everybody know you're a fool. I remember that song by Isaac Hayes. Remember the song by Isaac Hayes, Time I Get the Phoenix? Remember that song?
Yeah, by the time I get the Phoenix, yeah.
In the monologue, Isaac Hayes was saying, 7 times this man left this woman, and 7 times he came back. One day he said he came home early. He said, I ain't got to tell you what he found. He said, and the man said, baby, why? 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 She said, go on, fool, you doing it. He said, but the man wasn't doing it. By the time I get to Phoenix, she'll be lying. She'll be laying there, the phone be ringing. I'll be gone. He gone. He said, I'm gone. Because you can't take me so much, man. You cannot take being a fool for so much.
Exactly.
By the time I defeated, come on, man, he left her. But seven times he tried to leave, seven times he came back. But no, but I'm telling you, man,
love nobody.
but you can't let.
Boy, those are good old days. Them songs were something back then.
Oh man, and another song he had, I Stand Accused of Loving You Too Much. He said, I stand accused. He said, I know you're Jive girl. He said, I know you're Jive girl. He said, but I've been watching you for a long time. I've been affecting my life. I play hooky from school and everything. He said, but look, man, I love you too. I know you're Jive girl, but I stand accused of loving you too much. Yeah, we had this song back then, man.
Man, this has been a great panel, man. You did a great job, Russell, putting this together. I appreciate it.
It's a good, man. But I want to give you a closing statement, man. This has been a heck of a panel. And, Carol, you can go first with your closing statement. Give us your closing statements.
Well, my closing statement is I'm getting ready to go on YouTube and listen to some Isaac Hayes because that's some real music. That's some real good music. Well, I just hope as a village that we just all heal from the violence that we all witnessed, not just on Monday, but Sunday, but the violence that occurs in our community each and every day. And I pray that we all come together to end some of the senseless violence in our community and do our part. Everybody has a part, and it starts with us. Whenever someone approaches us wrong, let us take a step back and be careful how we approach them and handle them, because there's a lot of broken people in these streets. And so we want to just be gentle like Chris and take that lesson as we move forward. And thank you again, Russell. This is a wonderful panel today. I enjoyed everybody, Barry, Willie, and you, Russell. Thank y'all so much.
Thank you.
Willie, give your closing statement, Willie.
My closing statement is very simple. I salute Chris Rock for being the man to take that punch. I feel he did a lot better than I would have handled it. I lost a lot of respect for Will Smith. I was always questioning the fact that when Jada pulled out that other guy and he didn't do anything about it, and to see that he is so, I'm not even going to call it robotic. It's almost like she said, somewhat like he's possessed by her will. And then on top of that, my best thing was the fact what Denzel said. When you're at your highest peak, that's when the devil comes for you. The devil got him that night. The devil took him right out. You know, the fact of the matter is he won that Oscar, and it was tainted, you know, because of what he did. So, you know, but I thank you, Russell, for this panel, because this panel was good. Barry, I'm glad to see you in good health. You know, I hadn't heard from you in a while, but yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah, Slick Willie. I hadn't heard from you in a while, man. I'm still around.
That's good.
Oh, man, you know what? I don't have much of a closing statement. It's just that, we got to learn to, sort of like hold hands across America and appreciate one another. You know, we're going through some challenging times right now, you know, where we're fading out of the midst of a pandemic and, where we suffered a tremendous job loss and, you know, financial well-being, and people have been struggling. And, you know, Americans, the attitude's been different lately since we've been going through the pandemic. People have been meaner now. You know, they blowing the horn, giving you the finger. We all got to sort of like realize how fortunate and blessed we are to be in the situation in this country today and now in our time. And as Rodney King would have said, you know, can we just all get along, you know? you know, but I love my folks, you know, and I learn, you know, from them, you know, and their actions and things. So we learn from every experience, you know. And Carol, I hope your son has learned a little something from this lesson, because the youngsters, we got to continue to reach back and make sure they understand the right premise of of living, you know, a proper life and you know, respecting others. So I appreciate being on the panel with you all. And Russell, another great show, man. You the man. They don't call you the king for nothing.
That's
I want to give you my closing statements, because my closing statements is this. You got to look deep before you leave. You got to know what you got instead of calling what it's not. Everybody plays the fool sometimes, but you got to know whether or not you the fool. Because if you don't understand relationships are hard. But it's even harder if you don't have the information. And I'm telling people, in this relationship situation with Chris and Jada, I mean, he was in love with this woman. He was married to somebody else before. This was his second marriage. He left his other wife for this woman. And she had the power of love over top of him, but she didn't love him. My opinion of Jada is she never actually loved this man. I wrote a book called You Might Not Have a Woman If. And if these things are happening in your relationship, you ain't got no woman. You know, the things that happen in a relationship to let you know it might not be your woman. If she ain't coming home at night, if your woman coming in the house at 4 o'clock in the morning, and you want to ask her where she been, where you been? You better just ask her. It's quite apparent you're not my woman. You're not my woman. You don't like me no more. You know, you might not have a woman there. If you don't know what you got, instead of calling it what it's not, man. This is, but you got to look deep before you leave, man. Let people know. You got to let yourself know what. Go ahead. So you got to know what you got. Yeah. I'm not many people, because they thought they had a woman. I mean, you over your woman's house, and the phone rings, and you have the audacity to ask her, who's that calling you? You don't know who calling your woman? Sit there and be quiet. It might not be your woman. You don't know who calling. Why are you going to act up and ask, well, I'm going to beat you. Give me that phone for what? The dude on the phone is on the phone. You in the house. You sitting there, sit at the couch and be quiet and look at yourself and say, this definitely ain't my woman. But I'm here tonight. I'm here for tonight.
You hung on to the social network you're doing. It's really necessary, and you know, you're Russell. I knew you when you were a cop, man. You were a really nice cop. I couldn't believe you were a cop. I said you won't hurt nobody, man. You.
Well, I'm a nice cop. I was doing community policing in the 80s, and they couldn't stand me for it. I was doing community policing, and they said, why are you talking to these people? My son used to call me in the office and say, you can't talk to these people, man. They want to put you in danger. The most important thing is you want to go home at night. Don't you talk to them. And I would say, man, come on, I can talk to them. I can go to a call and talk to them. I used to go to a call and say to the guy, hey, man, you got an open warrant for child support. You got two choices, either get in my cruiser and let me take you to the station and get you the warrant served, or if this other guy comes to you, he ain't going to take you. He's going to beat you there. He's going to beat you there before you get there. I said, get in the car. Listen, WGR. Let me take. And he said, how you like that guy? I said, hold him the deal, man. Don't. I'm going to lock you up, but I'm going to lock you up with class and dignity. I'm not going to lock you up and go to PG County Hospital first with 8 stitches. I'm going to lock you up and take you to the station. You're going to come back home. And I'm going to take you back home. They'd be upset with me because I would take the person to the station, go before the commissioner, get the warrant resolved, and then put them back in my cruiser and take them back home. My sergeant said, you can't take them back home. And let him go, but he can. Don't take them back home. I said, man, I can take them back. It's my personal car. It's my car. It's police car. I said, I ain't going to do if no calls are out. I'm taking the guy back home. They couldn't stand that I would take a prisoner back home.
Back home.
You know, they said, Let them get home the best way they can. Let them release them from the station and ride like mine. Let them get home the best way they can. You know what I mean? But it was crazy stuff. But I police people with dignity. And if you had to be locked up, I locked you up. But I didn't lock them. I didn't beat you up to be beating you up. You know what I mean? But now people can't do those things years ago. You have to be a community policing type person today. You can't be a person that don't have that kind of,
I mean,
that kind of
you were that, man. You would come out and talk to the business owners. Come in, hang out, your car be out front, you know. And you come in and talk to us and everybody laughing. I appreciate the social consciousness that you brought.
Man, I had a hell of a time with the people, man. It was a great experience and great fun, and I helped a lot of people, man. But this has been a great time, and I'm glad I appreciate all y'all coming on the panel. We're going to do this again. It's called Relationship Friday, so we'll be talking about some more things every Friday morning. Again, my name is Buster Price, publisher of Be There Magazine, and I give it to you straight. Everybody plays the movie.